All right, enough about Rove. Let's talk about Obama. He passed health care. He just signed a new nuclear arms reduction treaty. He's kind of on a roll. And you know what? Republicans are scared. Newt Gingrich even went on to say that Obama is the most radical president of all time at some little Republican gathering down south. But is that really true? Or is the GOP just bummed because good things are actually happening and they can't stop them? Here to discuss with me, I have Catherine Mango Ward from Reason Magazine and Asad Akhtar, Democratic congressional staffer. I want to thank you both for being here. This comment, Obama is the most radical American president ever. Come on, is that true? Do you guys agree with that at all?
Well, I mean, you know, it's pretty ridiculous that comment's made. What's really radical is the idea that the Republicans, Newt Gingrich or anyone else, thinks that what the president should have done was just sit around and wait for the problems to get worse. This president probably inherited more problems than any president since the Great Depression or World War II, since Harry Truman. And instead of just sitting on it, he grabbed a shovel and started to dig us out. And that's exactly what we're doing. The economy's starting to turn around, and he has a real direction for foreign policy as opposed to the direction we were going in the past.
I love Newt. I mean, he is an entertaining character, but I think he's wrong about this. At this point in American politics, being radical isn't being Obama. It's being someone like Republican Congressman Paul Ryan, who says, well, if we want to balance the budget, we're actually going to have to cut a lot of programs. This is what you were
actually doing something.
If we want to talk about radical as being something that's not in line with what the typical American wants or thinks they want, you know, you just showed it. Typical Americans want more spending. They want more of government. And Obama's happy to give them that. It's not radical. I personally would like to see a more radical president on the right side of the aisle in office, but you can't always get what you want.
But really, I think what it comes down to is that if you're a president that actually gets things done, and the other side just doesn't like what it happens to be that you're doing, then you're deemed radical. I'm sure there's a lot of people that could say the exact same thing about George Bush and call him radical because he got the country involved in two wars and he tortured people and he started spying on the American citizenry. Is that not radical for you?
Radical just means bold that I don't like. That's it. That's the only thing it means in American politics.
Okay, but let's take it this way really quick. You know, we could think the FDR probably would have been considered so radical back in the day, too, but he did help the country out of the Great Depression. So now, if Obama gets us out of this recession, if things end up boding well economically for the nation, let's say, a year from now, then will Republicans ever forgive him for all the legislation that he's passed?
Look, it's pretty clear that their political agenda is not to agree with the president. As Sarah Palin said today, you know, there's no problem with them calling themselves the party of no, because that's all they stand for. They don't want in any way to work with this president. They've shown it time and time and time again. They don't have any new ideas. Every time they come out with new ideas, it's the same old ideas. Every time, it's the same tax cuts will solve everything. Tax cuts with no actual real property agenda. They're the same thing, loosened regulations. It's the same thing that got us in this mess, and yet they still keep going in that same direction.
Both sides of the same old thing, though. You've got, you know, the same kind of stuff that Democratic Party stood for a long time coming out of Obama's mouth, the same kind of stuff the Republican Party has stood for a long time coming out of Sarah Palin's mouth. And honestly, I think the thing we should be the most skeptical of is bipartisanship. I mean, I'm, although this is not a sentence I say a lot, kind of with Sarah Palin on this, you know? They're in the opposition right now. Republicans are the opposition party, so embrace it. Be the party of no.
What do you think the Republicans are going to do with this new nuclear arms reduction treaty? Are they going to embrace this, or are they going to try to block Obama every step of the way just to spite him?
Well, as usual, they're just going to cast aspersions on things. They're not going to talk directly about what the issue is. They're going to scare people. They're going to scare people and tell them that, oh, you know, having a nuclear weapons treaty is going to make us less safe, that now we're cowtown to a foreign government, when that's exactly the opposite of what's happening. Just because the president actually speaks to countries and can get respect and can get results, somehow that's radical to Republicans, that we could actually be a leader around the world.
Well, because 1,500 warheads just isn't enough to keep us safe, right?
Well, that's one place they're never worried about cutting. You know, defense spending can go on forever without any oversight, without any observation, as we saw, just, you know, out of control budgets, and they want to just pile on more spending, and that's the biggest sector of our spending in the economy.
Although it's worth bearing in mind that entitlements are not exactly pocket change. It's not our foreign aid budget, and that's certainly something that Republicans have, I think, a more compelling case on. It would be dumb to oppose this nuclear arms deal. I mean, fewer warheads is better for everyone, and it's sort of ridiculous that we still have two former superpowers pointing nukes at each other's minor cities. I mean, that's just not where it's at right now. If we can get rid of that, great. I think that's best for everyone.
And I really do think that at the end of the day, Republicans will come together and they will vote for this treaty. They will ratify it. But why would they? There still are some, you know, some points here that they would like to hark upon. Like you said, they want to spread some fear, make sure that we're still adequately spending on defense. Why would they break rank for this and not for health care? I mean, health care you also can sell as a good for the people.
Again, it's not about what's good for the American people. Quite honestly, I think they're dedicated public servants, but quite honestly, they're playing to a political agenda, not to what, you know, is good public policy, but to a political agenda. If they had real ideas that, you know, maybe they can't, the president won't implement 100% Republican ideas, but why don't they come forward with 50% Republican ideas? They don't. They don't want to because they don't really have something in between. They have their ideas, which are quite honestly more radical than ours, and that's what they're sticking to. It's not much different than the Bush policy. It's almost exactly the same thing, and we had 8 years of Bush, and it failed.
At the same time, though, I always wonder at this tone that sort of very partisan strategists take when they say, oh, the other side, you know, they're fear-mongering, they're just back to same old, same old. Everybody's same old, same old. Everybody's using fear. I mean, do you think Obama won't mention a future generation of children who won't have to live in fear thanks to his work?
Well, I mean, their criticism is that he's bringing too much hope and too many ideas of hope and change. So I don't know how much, you know, they're saying on the other side he's pushing too many rainbows instead of pushing fear.
Those are just horrible things. Yeah. Hope and change, really.
Ponies, you know. And puppies. I've heard that about them. Yeah.
Now, let's talk about Stupak retiring, though. Was this a point where people speaking out against him, fear-mongering, actually worked, all the bullying?
No, I think this is just a case of a dedicated public servant who said, this isn't going to be my career, this isn't the only thing I'm about, you know, a family man, a Christian man, you know, somebody who's dedicated to his principles. He fought for them, he stood up for them. It was a difficult fight, it wasn't a partisan fight, it was a moral fight for him, and he stood up for it, and now he's saying, you know what, I don't need this anymore. And quite honestly, it's because of the poisonous atmosphere that there is in Washington. People can't work together anymore. It's unfortunate.
Well, it seems like nobody wants to not even work together. They just don't want to work on the Hill, period, anymore with the amount of people that are resigning, getting over their jobs these days. One last question here. If Sarah Palin actually became the Republican nominee, would you move out of the country?
Well, I'd move somewhere where I can see Russia from my house.
You know what? I'm more than happy to stay in the country, because if the Republicans want to make her the nominee, then we'll be more than happy to run the president against her in 4 years.
I mean, that would be good for us, but that would be a really radical move, and that's something that I think that Republicans are somehow winning with all the ways. You know, when it comes to the stupidity count, like, they have enough people to line up for them, and I don't know. That's just my personal opinion on that. All right. I want to thank you guys both for being here. Is Obama the most radical president of all time? I think not. And I just think that perhaps the party of no, the people that don't like what he's doing, are just saying so.